Today we're going to continue on with our series on preparedness, being prepared for the future, and we're going to focus on an upcoming crisis which isn't really in much of the media. A lot of people aren't paying attention to it at the moment, and that is the future water crisis. So I'm going to explain all of the issues around this today, and then at the end we're going to talk about some action steps so that you don't get caught out when this actually does occur in the future. Water connects every aspect of our lives, and only air actually ranks above water in terms of survivability. Because without water, most human beings can only survive for about 3 days. And without clean, healthy water on an ongoing basis, our life expectancy drops dramatically. The emerging water crisis doesn't just apply to developing nations anymore. It's coming extremely quickly to the West as well. It's estimated that 95% of all the water in the world, the fresh water, especially in developing nations, is actually used by industry and agriculture as opposed to drinking. Of course, in some regions, this leaves polluted water for human consumption. So what are the contributing factors then to this global water crisis? And how will it affect us here in the West? Well, there's actually enough fresh water on the Earth to supply every single person on the planet right now. And that's with a booming population. But as you can imagine, it isn't equally distributed, with industry, so the largest corporations on the planet, getting those first dibs on the water supply for profit-making purposes. Clean water in, polluted water out. And this is without even going into the horrendous pollution throughout African nations, Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, the fast fashion industry, which has just decimated the water supplies, the rivers, the fresh, clean drinking water in those nations, which now some experts say it's like bleach. It is that concentrated. If you're down water from these fast fashion factories, the water is just not drinkable. Those people who do drink it usually end up dead very quickly. Over in the West then, Pepsi and Coke are also culprits of taking a lot of the water and making billions in profit from, actually, crazy as it sounds, bottling tap water. Yes, that's actually true. But some communities are going a lot further and are claiming that Pepsi and Coke are actually stealing their water supply. And a number of studies seem to back that up. Over in the United States, then, when the pandemic set in and panic buying more specifically set in, bottled water sales went up by 57% year on year. What's really interesting about this whole situation is that most consumers in the United States aren't aware that Coke and Pepsi and some of these other bottling plants actually get the water from the same place that feeds your home. I'm talking about tap water. You see, what these companies do is they get a direct feed of the water that you would also get, and they pay about a penny per litre, a little bit less than that. And then once bottled, it isn't a penny a litre. The markup on it is anywhere from 13,000% up to a whopping 30,000%. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. In a recent report here, it states Coca-Cola makes Dasani, the company's well-known bottled water that generated more than $1 billion in US sales last year at the company's Detroit plant by purchasing, treating, and bottling tap water before selling it at a significant markup to consumers. Pepsi bottles its Aquafina water brand in Detroit in a similar fashion. And it's not just from Detroit that they get their water sources, they also get it from Phoenix and Denver. So why has this situation occurred then? Very simply, it is government subsidies making the privatization of water a highly profitable business. So no wonder Coca-Cola and Pepsi are in this industry. All right, so here's a really, really weird one for you then. Are you ready? Okay, so this came out in August. US officials, for the first time on Monday, declared an official water shortage for the massive Lake Mead Reservoir, triggering supply cuts to parts of the drought-stricken Southwest, as 10 Western governors appealed for federal drought disaster aid. Okay. The shortage will reduce water apportionments to Arizona, remember that, Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico for the year beginning in October, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation and Interior Department agency said in a statement. Hi, if you're enjoying this video so far, can you do me a quick favor? Just click the like button. I really appreciate that. Thank you. So you'll remember a couple of weeks back now, I made the video for you on the semiconductor microchip shortage and, you know, the whole issue around that and how much pure, clean water it uses, just huge, huge quantities of water. So why then are TSMC, Intel, and Samsung all building semiconductor factories in Arizona? So TSMC is the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation. Well, according to TSMC's Liu, last year he told reporters that his company chose the state to build its first American chip facility in 20 years, in part because it's a popular choice of location for young people. Hold on, let me just process that a second. So even though there's a huge drought, the lake is running out of water, and semiconductors use huge amounts of water. They didn't choose it based on the number of water, they chose it based on the number of young people there. Okay, I guess I'm not the CEO I used to be, because that makes no sense to me. Let's just say that I'm glad I won't be moving to Arizona, because if any of the policies I'm seeing right now on a lot of these companies getting first dibs on the water supply before residents is anything to go by, I do not want to be in a place like that. So personally, I have no worries whatsoever with these companies setting up and, you know, any companies using the water source. However, this would be my caveat. Let's say I was the president or, you know, the prime minister or something like that. Here's what I would say. Any water that you use, especially these companies that are making huge profits, any water that comes into your factory must leave your factory in as clean a condition or a cleaner condition. That is what I would say. Now, if that isn't possible, I would say, well, in that case, you have to contribute some money towards making water cleaner somewhere else in the country. That to me seems like a fair payoff. But what seems to be happening at the moment, or of course this is how it appears, is that these companies are getting all the subsidies, they're making billions in profit, and they're not being held accountable for the waste they're making. Now, I thought this was really interesting as well. So this was another study done. Although climate change is being blamed on water scarcity, a recent study blew this out of the water and found that an increasing population was found to be about four times more draining on water supplies than climate change. So just process that as well. So groundwater then is actually the largest source of fresh water in the world. And in many parts of the world, because there's such water shortages now, agriculture, industry are now tapping into pockets and draining these pockets. So because a lot of people don't really understand this concept, I'll just use an example here. Let's pretend that your household, however many people are in it, have an income of 50,000 a year, but your outgoings are 70,000 a year. That means that you have a net loss of 20,000 per year. Now, you might be able to go on like this for a year, two, three, four, 5 years, because you're getting loans and credit cards and things like that. You can keep going for a while, but eventually the debt becomes so much that you're no longer able to pay it. Well, that's the situation that's going on with the water table at the moment. Wells are having to be dug deeper and deeper and deeper all the time to actually get to that water, and eventually the water will be used up. And when this happens, my prediction is that you won't just see mass migration from poorer nations to wealthier nations, but you'll also see migration from states such as California, Arizona, etc. So some of these western drier states, you'll also see migration into other states that has water. And talking of the water issues that exist in the United States right now, many regions already experience water shortages, droughts, and problems, because the more new homes that are built in an area, unless that water supply is upgraded, eventually those homes start to drain upon that water supply. You get lower pressure, you get all sorts of issues that come with it. The UK is a great example of that, because some of these houses were built hundreds of years ago and the water systems were built so long ago. Oftentimes we will experience low pressure when trying to take a shower, or in the summertime, occasionally there might be issues with the water shortages. But I think it's Flint, Michigan in the United States that really takes the prize here for the worst conditions for their water. You may be familiar with the story. A number of people were dying, and eventually the community got together and they took legal action against the government there. And what they actually found was the government had switched over their drinking water for a other source of drinking water to save money. This other source of drinking water had a lot of problems, lead pipes. So people got lead poisoning. They also got Legionnaire's disease. So this was a really good lesson for me, actually, to just understand that you can't always rely on the government to do the right thing for you. And in California, as I've talked about a couple of times now, farmers are now actually having to resort to killing their crops. Now, obviously, California is a very dry state, so a lot of the water comes from elsewhere. This is quite interesting. So the American West is drying out as the region faces an unprecedented drought. Today's water crisis in this region stems from decisions made over a century ago, so from a different region here. In 1906, the Bureau of Reclamation drained wetlands to create farmland, disrupting the careful balance of water needed to sustain others in the basin. In recent years, lake levels have dipped below federally mandated levels and further endangered the ecosystem. And in May, the Bureau of Reclamation shut off the primary canal that diverts irrigation water, leaving farmers without a water supply for the first time since irrigation began in 1907. This is California, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you think you're safe, you're in the wealthiest state, California, but no, look how easy it was for them to just turn off the water to California. Eventually, a lack of water and dying crops will be a problem that impacts what produce, so your vegetables, your fruits, etc., you'll find at your local grocery store, which is actually a topic we've been talking a lot about recently in terms of the crops failures, the shortages at the grocery stores. And now we're hearing it's somewhere in the region of 12%, I believe, of crops for the United States is grown in California or generally on the West Coast. And I actually saw this with my own eyes a couple of years ago. I was taking a train through California, Southern California, and it was just miles and miles and miles of mainly orange trees that were just brown, gray, dead. They, you know, been left to rot away. They had failed because they couldn't get the water to them anymore. And actually, the water issue in California was one of the deciding factors. It wasn't the main one, but it was one of the deciding factors for my family, my wife's family, actually leaving California earlier this year for the Midwest. Another state that I went to look at, interestingly enough, was Nevada, more specifically Las Vegas, because so many people, YouTubers, celebrities, etc., were talking about Las Vegas, how amazing it is to live there, etc. So I took a drive out there with my wife. We had a look around, and honestly, I just wasn't feeling it. I even saw Graham Stephan when I was there, who, you know, he's a huge YouTuber, isn't he? I just wasn't feeling it. And all that was in the back of my mind was knowing the water table's running down and down and down all the time, and Las Vegas is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I thought, why would I want to live in a place, well, firstly in a desert that has very little water whilst the supplies are running down? To me, it just didn't make sense. I just wasn't feeling it. So that's one of the reasons that I decided not to go to Las Vegas, for those of you that were asking me recently. Over in the UK then, it seems from a number of surveys that the general public has no idea about the water issues in the United Kingdom. The findings of a recent survey said that 72% of the British public believe the UK has enough water to meet daily demands. However, the public remains largely unaware of the risks that population growth and pollution is having on water supply. So when they were asked about this, it was negligible. Almost no one thought that this was an issue. So currently daily water usage in the UK is about 143 litres per person. Now, if you were to go back to the 1960s, it was a lot less than this. It was 85 litres per person. So of course, we're now using almost double what we used to use 60 years ago, and we have a much larger population. Okay, so this one really made me laugh. In one study of 18 to 24 year olds, a large number of people said, "How can we be running out of water when we're an island surrounded by it?" And ironically enough, they believe the following were much more important issues to tackle right now rather than water supply. Here, are you ready for this? So number one was plastic pollution, with 39% of them casting their vote that plastic pollution in the UK was a much bigger crisis than making sure we had enough water. Number two then, with 16% of the vote, was food waste. People felt that we were wasting too much food, and that was more important to get that under control than it was to correct the water issue. Number three, with 11% of the vote, was carbon footprint. People believe that we need to neutralize our carbon footprint more than we need to take care of the water issues in the United Kingdom. And then in fourth place, finally, 10% of those 18 to 24 year old geniuses thought that we should take care of the water. God help us, guys. So you'll be really happy to hear that the United States ranks in third place for having the largest body of fresh water on the planet. So that's good for you guys. In fourth place was Canada. So you rank just after the United States. Don't even ask where the United Kingdom and Australia is on this. We're just miles behind, so we won't even go there. So what can we all do then to make sure that we're not caught off guard, we don't have any major water shortages where we are, etc.? Well, you know what I'm going to say first and foremost, as I keep advising and guiding you: get out of the cities if you can. If you can work remotely, get away from the big cities. These are not going to be the place you want to be in the near future, especially if you can get a bigger house, more space, you know, a large garden or yard. You can get all of this for a lot cheaper than you would pay in the city. So if you can, then look for property that has a water source. You know, you can always dig a well if that's permitted in your area. Now, I understand a lot of you won't be able to do this. You live in the city, you live in apartments and condos, and you know, you just don't have that facility available. And I totally get that. But if you can move and you do want to move, that would be the first thing to do. I know for a fact that when I buy my next property, I'm going to be looking for a property that has water available there, either a river, a stream, a well, a body of water nearby, something like that. Next then is very, very simple. You may remember Brad from Full Spectrum Survival came on the channel for an interview, and he talked about how you can build a very simple and cheap water filtration system. So I would highly recommend that everyone does that. Get yourself one of these water filtration systems. If nothing else, you can filter rainwater or whatever else if there was ever a major crisis. That leads me on to the next point then, which is to get a couple of water butts for your backyard or your garden. These things hold huge amounts of water, and if you have a filter, this can be your worst case scenario. At least you would have some water there available for you if you ever needed it. And finally then, and this should be absolute common sense to every single one of you, please tell me that you have this already, which is to have some bottled water at home. Now, this isn't going to last you more than a few days in most cases, because human beings, we consume a lot of water on a day-to-day basis. It's not something you ever think about, because you just go to the tap, you turn it on, you get your water. But we do consume a lot of water for cleaning, for drinking, cooking, washing, etc. So just make sure that you have bottled water at home that you can use for drinking until the water gets turned back on, or whatever emergency we're going through, like a cyber attack on the water supply companies or whatever. You know, sometimes these can go on for a few days. You look at the recent hacks on some of the other manufacturing. They went on for 3 or 4 days. One of them was 5 or 6 days before they got it resolved. So if you don't want to have to go through this sort of craziness, if something like that does happen, which I think is quite likely for the future, for cyber attacks to actually go after the water companies, then just make sure you have some bottled water, and at least then you'll be okay for a few days. Thank you so much for watching today, guys. Really appreciate it. Please click the like button, subscribe, and leave me a comment. I love to read your comments. Let me know what you think of everything I've said today. Until next time, God bless. See you soon.